Welcome back to the Addicted Motors podcast. My name is Troy with Addicted Motors, and this is Mike with Sports Car Workshops, and you're back with the second best automotive podcast on the internet, Addicted Motors podcast. Now, this particular episode, since we've been tire deep, balls deep, whatever you want to call it, in the Mid-Atlantic Rally prep and execution, will be focused on discussing the events and things that happened at Mar, what it was about, who came, what happened.
Really wasn't much. It was a pretty quick event.
It was pretty quick and quiet. Yep, nothing really to explain and kind of go over. But that's kind of been the topic of a lot of these podcasts leading up to this, is literally getting ourselves prepped, getting our friends prepped, and everyone that we're associated with given one final chance to get their truck serviced, to buy a truck, to, even if you don't have a truck, come and enjoy the festivities that are pretty much associated with this cool Land Rover event. So before we kick into that, there's no events. We'll talk about that. That's the main topic.
So there are no events?
I mean, there's...
we got a couple events.
What do we have coming up?
Well, there's the rally that you're boycotting / involuntarily boycotting.
Yeah, this is a rally that
I'm boycotting. But a few people in the group going. I got the Euro Classics track day. Just start throwing that out in the chat.
You literally just texted me.
I know.
About
I'm on car shit now. Land Rover stuff's over.
What are you going to bring to... What are you going to drive?
I don't know. I got
is Patrick
options.
Gonna let me take a Porsche?
It doesn't have to be a Porsche. You can bring anything. I can bring my BMW. Bring my BMW. Maybe I'll buy a Porsche.
I'll go if we can both drive your BMW and we get a hotel room.
Yeah, give you a 997.
I don't want to blow that up on the freaking.
We need
track.
A hotel room for it's a big day.
No, you go the night before.
Well, you can, but
yeah, that's the only way. There's a bar. That's what I did last time. It was way more fun. Then you get to meet everybody. All right, well, there's a track day that we might have to go to that I don't really have a car for. So
he's got a 997, but he doesn't have a car for.
That's how it happens. It's got 10-year-old tires.
Oh, okay, perfect. We'll get you in.
I don't have any money. all right. Well, there is no shop updates, I'm assuming, because nothing's really happened.
What?
Do you have shop updates?
We started working on air cools this week. Never worked on one before in my life.
I don't even think anyone wants to hear about
you. You
want to
hear about more air
cools? There's two 993 turbo 964.
Air cools on air cools. An FJ Cruiser getting some Land Rover repairs in post Mar.
FJ Cruiser getting Land Rover repairs.
No, I'm changing subjects.
I drove that thing as soon as the engine turned on. I'm like, this is worse than a series.
It's
cool because it's a Saudi truck, I guess, that's got the skinny tires and the mud flaps and everything, but like, what are you doing with that? And actually, I have a friend that just texted me, or Billy just texted me, you know, his friend with the G-Wagon, the 230, it's slow.
Yeah.
I tell everyone that asks me about G-Wagons to...
Oh, has he learned it's not a good daily?
Yes.
Ah, yeah.
He wants to sell it, right? Because there's no G-Wagon community. There's not a bunch of people... degenerates that you can talk to about your G-Wagon things. There's no G-Wagon meets. There's no G-Wagon trails. There's no supporting infrastructure that pushes you to make bad decisions or a use case for that truck.
Yeah,
I mean, like G-Wagons. I just don't
like... Yeah, they're cool looking.
I'm not just going to drive around by myself in a G-Wagon because...
I would do that with a Unimog.
That's different because people would follow you around and you'd make friends.
Land Rovers are cool. I like Land Rovers. You know, they got the aesthetic, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, the community and the...
You
got
to be able to do, like, the fact that you can do something with them. It's like having a track car and never going to the track, which is probably most GT3 owners.
So it's the guy with the 997 that doesn't want to take it to the track.
It's not a GT3. It's not even a track car.
Not even a track car. That's a track pig.
That is not a track.
It's got no value.
So that's a whole other topic of why not G-Wagon. He wants $40,000 for it. I mean, it's a cool truck.
It is. I like it. It's got the aesthetic. I mean,
can we sell two?
Yeah, it's going to be awkward selling them at the same time.
I mean, they're both kind of cool brown, drab colors. They're both manuals. They're both non-turbos. They're both what, OM602?
I might know someone for that. I mean, it's worth getting it down here, I guess.
Okay.
Why not?
Grant's friend has a Rubicon he wants to sell to with 10,000 miles.
He wants to sell to me?
No, just to sell. And I don't know any Jeep people. I'd make a video on it, and my users would...
He's the only Jeep guy I know.
my users would not be about that. So any other thing shop-related, anything blow up?
No blow-ups. A bunch of break-ins. Finished putting the motor together on the Mustang. Been driving that around a little bit. I don't know. A lot of air-cooled stuff. Always a lot of air-cooled stuff. Some water-cooled Porsches. did that Olds 442. That thing's sweet.
That is sweet.
Every time you try to like drive it normal, you just start chirping the tires. Yeah. That thing is just a torque monster.
Torque, well, not old, but period skinny tires. Like, it's
a recipe for fun. But, like, legitimately, not even trying to, like, hot dog it at all.
I know.
It's just, I'm
like, oh, shit. I rented, like, a 14 or, like, a 13 Challenger with a stick in Florida, and having driven lots of old cars that don't have more than 300 foot, like, having a Hemi V8 and a 6-speed, like, I'm just tripping the tires, just doing, absolutely not even trying. Just, you put quarter throttle and spinning the tires and like, oh, this is why, this is what's going on in the muscle car world, which I, you know, not really dip my toe into all that much.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some fun to just no place for finish management.
Well, you know,
in the long term, I'm gonna take some turns, but I get it.
We also don't hoon around in muscle. Like, I think that I've done it. I think my closest comparison is pickup trucks. I mean, I've driven lots of V8 diesel or gas pickup trucks, and same effect, loose, light rear end, spins the tires easily, but not so much for cars. Yeah.
I was driving my truck in the rain, towing, and like every time I try to touch the throttle, just immediately broke.
I know. Well, you're just one day you're just going to look on your rear tires and be like, oh, wait, they're gone.
Yeah, I should probably rotate those.
I didn't even do anything with it. Yeah. And it's heavy back there, and it's just driving around.
Just got to let her eat, boys. Got to let her eat.
All right, so that's a lot of the updates. We can probably skip some of the other topics.
Really, no sales updates. Yeah.
Sales updates.
We've been too busy to sell cars.
Haven't sold any other cars. The 2002 is gone. John took successful delivery, my father-in-law, of the D1, and that actually had a great we didn't even open the hood.
I can't believe that his list post-Mar isn't like lift. No, that's
smart.
I thought for sure.
It doesn't need to do any more with that truck.
We had to pull him through a lot of mud.
We also went in the mud. We can get into that a little bit later. All right. Auction updates. People have asked me about cars at the auction and what's going on. And the truth of the matter is, there's nothing.
Oh, we sold the L322.
We sold the L322.
He was at more too. He was at more.
There's just nothing interesting that is either affordable or a good price or that is a diamond in the rough or worth talking about from an inventory standpoint. Yeah,
it'll all show up in 2 weeks.
I mean, we went pretty hard last time. The last few weeks, did this sell? Okay, so they've got a red manual 95 disco that was listed for like $8,000 in California. It was listed $7,000 or $8,000. It didn't sell today. There's no bids, no offers, 7 views. If you want that, I mean, that's going to be shipping from California. There's a Defender 90 that has a 1.4 out of five
newer
condition
old
score. No, it's an old, it's a diesel.
That's not surprising.
Yeah, I know, but. And that's it, you know. There's a 2021 405 Range Rover 50, but it's black and it has an accident and there's obvious structural damage, so nothing really that interesting there. So we're just going to skip through all of that. I wish I had more interesting topics on auction cars, but there hasn't been. If you're in the auction chat, find me on Instagram. We'll get you added to it. There's 250 members in there.
Oh, my God. Is it that big now? I don't ever look at the member list.
It's pretty big. Yeah, and that's for anything. It doesn't have to be Range Rovers. If you just want a car and don't have to go through the hassle of searching around, you want to just click a button and it shows up.
Click button,
that's
get car.
Kind of the way to do it these days, and the way that arbitration, green light, and the way it's all able to be potentially save and reduce the risk or put the risk on or off. It's up to you. It's not a horrible way to buy a car these days. All right, so let's talk about Mar. Mid-Atlantic Rally, it was the 50th anniversary of the Rovers Association of Virginia, Rover Owners Association of Virginia, and it was a huge event. I have no notes. I was never inconvenienced. I think there was always something going on. We kind of did it on our own way. We stayed heavily trail focused,
which we always do.
But we were able to do that.
The traffic was so much lighter this year.
So
lighter, just because of all the side events.
Yeah. So
I have one note. I have one note.
We'll get to the notes later. So
let me, no notes. I got a note.
So the layout, right? It's 1,200 acres, Buckingham County. It's a privately owned, family owned hunt club. Little George Hunt Club. It is open for the rest of the year if you like pheasant hunting and all that kind of fun stuff. So all the fields were cut down for the most part. We had free range of the whole property for the most part. It's got a pretty dynamic geographical layout. You've got field trails, you've got hilly, mountainy, mudslide areas, you've got island stuff, you've got water crossings, you can cross the river in some points. So depending on what your skill level is or what the weather is, there's always going to be something open for you to kind of tool around on, which is awesome. In addition to, there's DIY trails. So you don't have to go on a locked-in trail ride. So if you know the property, yep, and you've got a skill level that I know you have enough confidence to go out and do things by yourself and you can read a map, then it's like, you know, orienteering with your trucks and your buddies. You can go out there and have a blast. So that we, you know, primarily choose that option. And that is what we decided to do for the majority of the time, because you only get to do this kind of stuff once a year for the most part, unless you're coming out doing the trail weekends. So, you know, we used all that time as wisely as possible. Like kids at an amusement park, right? You're only there for a couple hours. I want to ride all the rides. So we went, we rode all the trails all day, all night. And managed to do it without getting really too bored. I mean, that was the goal.
No, sometimes the other entrants keep it exciting for you when they, you know, do a little one of these.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we got there the first
pre-event
day. First day. You know, luckily the weather held out. You know, it took a while to get our camper set up and our, you know, generator wasn't working. So it was a really slow start. Oh, we ran back and forth to Richmond to bring some sales trucks out. We brought the high mileage one owner P38 out there just people could check it out, and our not 2001 very clean potentially motor replaced D2 out there for viewing. We didn't put a whole lot of effort in the sales side of that, but no. That's okay. We're not gonna hang around the Bender Village.
We just love going on the trails.
We'll just, again, like I
we
said,
got one speed.
I'm not dead yet, brother. I'm gonna go hit some friggin' trails with the boys. And that's, you know, that's kind of what we did. You know, that night we went out with a small group. You know, we were going in, you know, we did some exploring, we're going in, we met another group of guys, went out there, followed them on what we thought was some pretty tame
stuff. Hadn't even loaded my recovery gear.
Yeah, we were all like still aired up. This was just the excitement of the first night, everyone's going out, you know, this is getting ready for more. And the guy in front of us just stopped being behind us, and we didn't realize that there had been an incident.
Yeah, because there was a truck between me and the incident truck.
And that
so
guy
I was keeping an eye on him, but I guess he wasn't keeping an eye on the last guy.
Yeah. Come to find out, one of our buddies did a little tipsy, little whoopty woo,
little tipsy turvy,
little tipsy turvy in a Range Rover Classic around a tree, and actually kind of flopped it. Didn't go all the way over, just flopped it on its side, and we just hooked a tree strap up to the rock slider and just kind of popped him back over. And honestly, it couldn't have been any better. Everyone was safe. Rolled the truck back over, you know, the next morning came back, blew the oil out of the plugs, got some extra plugs and fired it up, and he was running trails the whole rest of the thing. So,
yeah,
I mean, it was a little bit exciting, something to do, you know, like I said, it's fun to be able to, you know, practice rolling vehicles back on their wheels. I think that was probably the only, rollover, not that that's a commonplace, but I think it has been a commonplace. Every event we've attended, someone's rolled over.
It's amazing how many, you know, it's exclusively driver error, but yeah, been a lot of rollovers.
A lot of rollovers. But you know, every single truck has literally been okay and driven home. I mean, that's the beauty of it for the most part. Even though these trucks are old, we've seen the capabilities of what they were built to, and it's actually pretty impressive. You know, everyone that's done it hasn't panicked or left the motor running, you know, just shut it off, didn't do anything stupid, put it in park, and you know. And we've been able to rescue it, right? And that's the beauty of these type of events is it went out. I don't believe there was any major injuries or anything like that. I don't think there was any, you know, emergency recoveries for the most part. I guess some kid tried to drive across the river. That didn't work out. There's a picture of his truck submerged in the James River all the way up over the doors. Don't really know what the backstory is there. It was a gas D1. We think we'd passed them earlier in the day, and I just saw a picture of them in the river. So that's going to be a bad day. I think they left it in the river and drug it
out. That was, man. Good on them for getting out
there. Good on them for getting out there.
But holy shit.
I'm not going to say don't do something like that, but that was probably a crossing that we did see. And we're like, yeah, we're not going to total our truck in the river.
That was definitely ignorance is not bliss. You know, I think they just didn't they don't understand the consequences of their actions, and that's going to be painful.
I mean, that was the truck that had, were you behind with us?
That was the debated wheel. That was the one that.
Yeah, the battery just, the starter locked up, but just, we passed it. Remember, we winched
it up. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was when I got
stuck. He was already having electrical issues before.
Yeah.
And there are fans that, they watch the channel, so they might see this. You know, shout out to you guys for
partying hard. No, I mean, again, you know, dope, you know. Get after it, but that's going to suck.
And I was wondering what the thought process there, but I saw a video of Josh Crane doing it in the Diesel 90. And apparently there's just a couple lines going from that Trail 8 drop-in to the other side that is possible, and probably even possible without a diesel. But
not less to break on a diesel 90.
Yeah, I'm assuming...
Keep water out of the tank.
That might have been earlier in the week. The water might be in a little bit lower. I'm not sure what the scenario was, but you know, after watching Josh do it, I almost had a little bit of FOMO going, we might have been able to do that, but it's not. Water in these trucks, I don't care if you have a snorkel or whatnot, it's a good way to... complete, because I mean, he's got water in his gas tank, he's got water in the diffs,
he's probably got it in the combustion chamber,
in the combustion,
he's hydrolyzed. I hope he didn't, you know, try to start it with a bunch of water in the cylinders.
I mean, the water was up over the I mean, it was in the door, like it's in,
well, yeah, and he was not moving, so there was bow plane effect or anything, right. It was just,
and I guess they got it out, you know, I mean, that's. It's using the full capacity of your 12,000 pound winch when your car is full of water.
It's going to be a really fun story, you know.
Fun story.
Especially in a year or two.
So that was day one. Day two, the rest of our group pretty much showed up. And, you know, there is a few ways to do these events. If you can definitely show up without a group. It really makes it more fun with the group.
Or find a group when you're there.
Or find a group. Or ask a group, right? Yeah. Like
Most people are very open.
I was offering people here and there. I think with this event, a lot of people wanted to stay with their groups because they came with the group because they'd been there before. And that was kind of good to see. There wasn't a lot of, you know, lone wolves running around. But, you know, if you do run
into pack of one, brother.
If you do run into these, well, we met that guy too. He was out in the middle of the river. Just billy goating through the river. But hey, listen, he got himself in situations and he got himself out of the situation. You know, if you're a man in the night, you're a man in the morning. Even if your night
just
turns into morning.
He does.
But you know, ran into a lot of people, ran into a lot of viewers, and actually a lot of people that came up and said they liked listening to the podcast. So shout out to the 10 or so
people are watching this.
I mean, these only get 200, 250 views, and I probably had 10% of the viewers come up to me and say, "Hey,
yeah, I'm here too. Why don't you say hi? I'm here too. That's messed
up. I'm just
up.
Saying.
I'm a friendly guy."
But also a lot of viewers that enjoyed the channel and said that you know, some of these videos influenced them to come or to buy a truck and do this kind of stuff. So that's awesome as well. I think that's kind of the whole idea, especially the videos I made of the property beforehand, because I've been telling people for the last year, you should come to this event. And I made that video to say, this is what's going to happen. This is where you can play at those events. Because if you don't know the context of what goes on, then you're like, I'm just going to go camp in a field with Land Rovers. You can do that Overland Expo or, you know, like this.
I was always pretty surprised driving through camp how many trucks were just parked in camp. I swear I saw some that never moved, just hanging out.
Well, you know, and that's why we make the videos, to say, hey, you know, if you want to do it and do it a little bit more than, you know, you might think you can do, then that option is, there's very few venues in life where you can go and have a free range of a property and whatnot. Like there's so many roadblocks and barriers put up for these type of events that when you're given an opportunity like this, you have to take advantage of it respectfully, obviously. I mean, we were in the trails at 2 a.m. with the owner of the property, and he was the one pushing us through stuff that wasn't marked. So,
you know, I had to show him a couple lines.
He did put new tires on his truck, but they were aired to like 50 PSI. That's what I realized. And I'm like, why are you stuck? And I was like, he had full pressure in those things. But that wasn't a problem with a little bit of skinny brother pedal.
A lot of skinny brother pedal.
But yeah, I mean, we probably had 8 or 9 trucks in our group. 2-3 people who had either never off-roaded before or never been out to the property. So that was cool. I think everyone enjoyed themselves. And Ryan, he'd never off-roaded. He had Zach's truck for the most part. I mean,
yeah,
I think
he was first timer.
I think he had a blast. Truck did well.
I don't
think we had any like major mechanical failures or anything like that weren't driver error.
No, mostly,
we fixed Pete's classic. We a cap and rotor. You know, we probably spent 2 months.
Well,
casually,
we did. I had nothing to do with that.
He spent about 2 months throwing a bunch of used parts at it, which we all would have done the same thing. ended up going to Lucky 8 tent. Shout out to Justin and the guys. Got a cap and rotor. And, you know, his truck would run for like 20 minutes and it's like just crap out. And this completely fixed it. A little bit of diag.
This is why you don't swap used parts.
This is why I don't swap
from used parts. From a non-running truck.
From a non-running
truck. I would, you say we would all do it. I would not do it.
Yeah, from a non-running truck with a bad engine. That might have not been the best going. I mean, again, the trails were great. You know, it was an interesting way to change your driving style for us, just because that vent has historically just been an absolute muddy shit show.
Yeah, it's like the driest it's ever been.
Yeah, where you're just, you're kind of like, you're going into every obstacle giving up because you're going to have to winch. Like, you're going to hit it a little bit and then just have the winch out. But here, I mean, everything was dry. Yeah, everything was dry. You could do all the trails in the property, which is kind of cool. I think everyone has a better idea of like what the property looks like and how to get places.
Couple new trails.
You know, a lot less winching, but really being able to test the trucks to the full capability of why and how everyone built all their stuff. I think most of the group either has, everyone has got a center diff lock. Most of everyone has a rear and or front ATB or something. Everyone's got a winch. So, you know.
Yeah,
from where we started a few years ago,
a little bit more prepared. Yeah. It's nice not having to just rely on one winch for like three right. people that showed up without one.
Right, you know, the chat we
yeah, it gets pretty annoying.
Everyone had mud tires for the most part. Everyone came prepared. Everyone knew where their friggin' gas pedal was. Andy forgot where the brake pedal was at one point.
Well, a little whoopsie daisies.
But yeah, I mean, there was food pretty much every day. Didn't have to really think about that. You know, other stuff going on. I kind of wish that I spent more time following the schedule for the ginseng bog and the RTV course. Could have been interesting to check those out. But we, you know,
time goes quickly. Bopping around on the trails.
We were on the trails.
Realize what time it is. And
yeah, there were some good clips. You can see some of the other guys on YouTube capture the ginseng bog. Challenge, right? I mean, that thing.
I would have gone, but you know, Sarah loves to talk about how it's undefeated. I didn't want to take that from her.
It's a lot easier than it was when Zach and I hit it, because there's a trail now. Before, it was like it hadn't been touched in 30 years. Yeah. It's just like a pond with mud in it, and now it has tracks and whatnot. So, the amount of effort that kind of went into the coordination and setting this up for a bunch of degenerates like us was cool to see executed. I think everyone, even if they weren't doing trails and whatnot, had a great time. Met a lot of people from the old Instagrams. Mr. Boring Cars, met him out there in his 90. The guys from Golden Rovers were out there. Very nice couple from Washington. We took them out on a late night drive. Probably changed their perspective on what Virginia
Rover Owners. His wife is all about the D90.
Yeah. She actually messaged
she
me
jumped
about
in a couple times
today.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like I said, it's just a slightly different culture. You know, it's fun running night trails, seeing, you know, who's out there. I mean, that's kind of the idea, right? It's like everyone's out there during the day, and then things kind of settle down, and then you go out at night and just kind of see how many other people you see. Rovers.
Yeah,
in the hills.
You gotta stop spreading the word about nighttime.
Listen, there's rovers. There's rovers and headlights in the hills. That's a cool sight to see when you're tooling around the trails.
Cool.
You look up, and there's a whole group of series guys just on a muddy hill somewhere, and it's just, you know, everyone is enjoying their trucks, enjoying the nice weather, just enjoying being out there and having some freedom to tool around on a beautiful property. So it's. It really was, you know, quite the experience. What else?
You know, it's a long event, but it's very repetitive. So a lot of trails. They had a lot of side things. You know, they had RTV course. They had the vineyard show.
Yep.
They had.
I think we did a picture of those 300 trucks in that field all grouped together. We took the group picture.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it desensitized, right? You're driving around, oh, that's a cool Land Rover, that's a cool this, and then, like, you're there, and there's so many trucks, you stop looking at them and taking it all in.
Yeah, I think the only one that, like, really caught my attention was that Series 1. That does it for me.
Series 1, which one?
You know, no roof, no windshield,
silver. Oh, the aluminum full polished chrome. Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty sick.
Those guys, they've got a couple. I forget what his name is.
His buddy rode with us.
Canadian Jesse Jesus. Yeah. He was holding long hair guy.
Yeah. He was riding around with us for, I guess that was probably, what, Thursday night? Friday night?
I don't know.
We were riding around with the property owner.
That was Friday night.
Yeah, it's after Friday night party. Yeah, they've got Friday night parties. They did like a vendor village
couple happy
cocktail
hours.
Hour.
If you were to take one truck home, though, that wasn't yours, or two. It might be hard to do one.
Definitely the Series 1. number two. I'm trying to think back.
I got two, and they're both from the same group.
Yeah. That 109... M50.
That was mine. Yeah.
That'd be the other one. That thing sounded sick.
Yeah.
The forward control too.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. All the same group.
I need three of the forward control.
So if you watch my video, the 109, you see him hit the mud bog. It's not even a 109. It is.
Well, it's a 109 body on a 110 chassis. Is that what you're telling me?
No, it's four door. I think it's a Defender chassis with a BMW M50, but it's like an early series wagon, so it's four door, but it's got the cut doors, so probably really like a 61 series one wagon. I don't know what it is, but it's got the low front doors. But yeah, man, that thing was absolutely getting it out there. Just like we would just hear it, you know what I mean, and then all of a sudden it would actually gain speed, and then you saw the articulation that it had. I mean, it wasn't a rock.
Yeah, I never even got close enough to know anything about it. Just heard it and saw it from a distance hitting some of those obstacles.
But talk about like a usable rig with like a little bit of power and open exhaust.
It sounded pretty sick.
Just slamming through stuff. There's no plastic on that truck. It's just, that's built for a purpose. It had enough of a roof where you're not going to get soaked. Did he drop into the river when we were out there?
I don't know.
I remember the other trucks, but I don't think I remember him. Maybe he did.
Was he the one that got stuck and had to get winched, or was he the
I don't think he took it out there. I'll have to check my
it was the forward control.
There was a swapped series one that had big tires and a V8 in it.
Yeah.
It had the hood vents, who went out there. He sprayed me with mud pretty bad. And the forward control, man. The forward control thing never did it for me.
That looks like a lot of fun. Taking those tips.
It had two seats in the front, and then it had two seats in the back facing each other, and they all had like race straps on, because you got to be strapped into that thing. It was triple locked, big tires. I think it had a 3.9.
Sounded like it had a V8.
Had a V8 in it. I mean, maybe they all have V8s in them.
I don't really know anything about four controls.
None of them sounded that good, but this one just...
It sounded decent.
Oh, that one did. Yeah. I mean, this guy was just hitting stuff without any mercy.
Yeah.
And it was obviously just taking it. And we saw those guys out every night, and that's kind of one of those things. You kind of get inspired by other people's builds. Like, you know, I got to the point where I'm like, yeah, you know, a lot of this stuff doesn't interest me. But then you start seeing a few trucks and you're like, okay, that's something to kind of work towards from a night.
We can't get into forward controls. That's going to take up so much space.
No, but they're not that big. They look big in theory, but it's not on a stretched chassis or anything.
No,
it's just high off the ground. They're tall.
Yeah. You turn one into a flatbed.
Not a wintergreen truck.
A flatbed four controller, probably.
Other incidents.
Andy's
incident.
Smashed his bumper that
I'm trying to rewind before that. I mean, there really wasn't anything. Oh, Edwin has P38. He hit a mud hole.
Mud hole hit back.
He blew his heater core mid-winch throttle, and it was very dramatic. Again, I didn't explain this in the video, I was just videotaping, but this whole cab filled with hot steam, right? And his son and him, his son, Seven, thought the truck was on fire. Ian thought the truck was on fire. The truck was not on fire.
God, I wish Ian had gotten there with a fire extinguisher. That would have been so funny.
I think a P38 is the only, like, vehicle that if the heater core bursts, it has a dramatic explosion within the vehicle.
Just a bunch of vaporizing.
Oh, fluid. Yeah, the whole truck. We eventually pulled it out. He bypassed it in, what, six minutes, and we were gone, which was awesome. He's a mechanic. He knew it was leaking, so that was an issue, but not an issue. We used the kinetic rope to pull him out. Probably took about 7 or 8 full throttle slams to get him unstuck. That was off the Rob's bumper, which didn't bend, which I was kind of waiting for it to bend because it was one of those kind of cheap
D2 ones. It was in the actual bumper.
No, we were hooking. I hooked right to the bumper. There was recovery points there, you know. Not the best idea, but it didn't bend. So
recovery points.
It was good. trying to think if there's anything else that we were a part of. You know, I think we had a winch a couple times.
I think most of our carnage was Andy, just a little bit of Jamie.
Yeah, Jamie forgot to brake. He forgot to brake at the bottom of a hill and hit a ravine.
I think that was mostly cosmetic. Make sure you remember when you need to brake.
Yeah, when you go down a steep, like, 20-degree incline and there's a hole at the bottom, make sure you get that slowly. Don't just get in there. And then his CDL was in and out, but not too bad. And then Andy, our buddy, he decided to make his truck full trail truck. So we put mud tires, a winch, and a Great Divide Range Rover Classic bumper on the front. He tested out the full capability of what an aluminum bumper will do against a tree at 10 miles an hour downhill in the mud at night. And guess what? Actually, I mean, he was very much asking the question, if he had had a beefier bumper, what would have happened? And I feel like if you hit a tree hard enough with any bumper, it's going to bend and cause damage.
Yeah.
And I think that his bumper and his front of his truck absorbed it to the point where he did not tweak his frame or anything. But I have a feeling that if he had hit it with an ARB or something.
Well, I didn't see. Did that one have like crush cans or anything? Or is it just kind of a hard mount onto the front?
It's just,
the ARB's got the crush cans. You know, that
not for
kind
a D1.
Of, the new ones? They don't have them?
Oh.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, but on D1, there's three mounting holes, so I feel like it will pull the frame, which is nice for things in the front, so it doesn't bend up. But for a side hit like that, like he might have tweaked the frame.
Damage multiplier.
But he needs a new hood and fender and bumper and.
He's not gonna try to fix the bumper.
No, he's gonna fix the bumper. Okay. He's just gonna pull it all out. But here's the thing, right? There is. Any other vehicle, you crush the front end, and you're like, wow, this is bad. Here, the parts guy is on site, so he's got a red hood, he's got a fender, and he's got a headlight bezel, and he's going to get them tomorrow, I think.
Oh, radiator core support.
He might not even do that. So, I mean, in your brain, as a sane person or an insane person, the whole time you're there, you're like, dude, if I mess up, then I'll just get another fender right now. Just go over, walk over, and we'll get it ordered and get it spun up, not like... Oh no, the car's totaled.
It's really dangerous doing crack right next to the crack supplier.
Right.
It's dangerous.
Right, like, oh, there's always going to be more crack. The crack's right up there. Yeah. Let's go get some.
Sometimes
it's only $100.
Sometimes you got to buy a whole 8-ball just a little bit. You know?
But again, no other group of driving enthusiasts are driving around like, oh yeah, it's fine. They got one parts over there, so I might as well smash it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it had to happen. Got it out of the way. It was one of those last day type of things.
Well, it's good. Now he'll never... try to pretend like it's not going to be a trail truck ever again.
He's got no choice.
It's totally committed. The trail decided for him. It's a trail truck.
Who else? Well, we had, I think George was out there for the first time. Our buddy George, he's got a diesel.
Lecker
import diesel 110 manual. Right-hand drive. He did the things right. He got a winch bumper prior. And he got
nice mud tires.
And really the first time he had done kind of fairly serious off-road driving, I think he had a blast as well. The truck did great.
Yeah.
You know, it's half truck, half driver, right? Or actually more driver, less truck. But the truck was able to rise to the occasion. And he mentioned...
Didn't he add a ATV in?
No, his rear diff was bad. But I think
I thought he...
I don't think so. I mean, I think he wants one, but...
I remember talking about it for a while, but maybe it never happened.
But anyway, I mean, he did the thing. He drove the trails, had a great time, and I think he'll be back again next year, and I think that's kind of what it's all about. You know, this is not just a car activity. It's a very kind of fun, sustainable activity if you're into
You're just paying to be our friend.
Yeah, if you want to be in this.
If you want to be our friend, you got to buy a Land Rover.
Well, no, you have to assimilate. You have to buy a Land Rover, do all the things, spend a bunch of money, and then crash into stuff and not be afraid.
Then we'll like you.
And then we'll like you. So if you're interested in that, let me know.
We'll like you. Trucks for sale. Bash your truck up.
And I'll talk about the underdogs, though. And I don't even want to say underdog, but the P38s, they just... There's a roving crew of P38 guys.
They all know each other.
They're all super built trucks. You know, they're a bit of the underdog, right? Because they don't have, you know, manually locking center diff, even though the viscous clutch, I mean, they never struggled for locking traction. But those guys, you could just put your foot into it, point and shoot, and they got up pretty much everything. I think one guy was struggling, but he was struggling because he couldn't get his transmission into one or two. I mean, it was more of a mechanical issue, I think, than anything else. But, you know, half the fun is seeing how different platforms handle different terrain. You know, discos are definitely, you know, in the mid pack, right? They've got good articulation. They can produce power when they need. You know, they're tough. You can bounce them off stuff. The D2s, really cool to kind of see that crash control work every once in a while if you don't have lockers. You have to drive a little bit different, right? Keep your foot into it because it's got to figure out the traction thing. It's got to think, yeah. And, you know, and this is just stuff you need to tell the owners if they're not used to that kind of muddy, you know, driving, you know, where if you just give it another second, it might actually lock a wheel up and pull yourself out. You know, your D90 just kind of, it's light. It's got bigger tires than everyone else, and it just kind of scoots
great,
up stuff.
Great approach and departure.
And
I'm the best driver, you know that.
You know, and yeah, sure, and that's an aspect. And you hit the trails before it was tore up and.
Yeah, I tore it up fairly.
Yeah, and it helps.
Tires were shot by the time I got in the car.
What else was there? Yeah, I mean, I think Eric's D90. Stiffer truck, you know what I mean? Like he could get through everything and it was fine, but definitely didn't have like that looser articulation that, let's say, Pete's Classic. Our buddy has a Classic with 30-year-old suspension. It's totally stock.
A little extra flex,
but you know what? In the mud and stuff, watching that just kind of wiggle up through things that other trucks would get stuck on, bone stock with 20-year-old tires, it was pretty awesome to see. That was some Camel Trophy stuff right there, just kind of, you know, sliding through everything, you know, because you don't have much lift. Yeah, I mean, again, it's just kind of cool to see it all in action. You know, you guys watch all this stuff on YouTube, but then you get to, you know, for me, you get to go out and do it. You know, don't just be about it or don't just talk about it, be about it. And that's kind of the venue for this kind of thing.
Yeah, ton of fun.
Yeah, so check out that video. I didn't do a great job of filming everything. I was mostly driving, kind of enjoying ourselves. You know, got to see the JLR brought out the historical showcase trucks that were just at Monterey a couple weeks ago. They stopped back at Pearl's Pond for the first time ever on their way back to the port. So that was the Darien Gap Classic, the Oxford, the one around the world, and the lady that drove.
Yeah,
I can't remember her name. Yeah, something. The other little.
More of a trails guy.
More of a trails guy. No, those things did drive to the Vineyard Series event, though. So that was kind of interesting. It's probably the most they've driven ever. I'd love to see what the oil looks like.
Most they've driven ever.
In the past 50 years.
I think they did a little bit of driving.
They might have done a little bit of. They were on the trails at night, brother. I didn't see them hitting anything.
How could you imagine? Oh, man, I bet the keys were in all weekend.
Well, and again, the cool thing with this event, it's happened before. There's been an anniversary event at this location, and there was all these historical pictures from the 90s. Yeah. And the idea was to kind of embody the spirit of that crew of people and things. We had the same trucks, right? Like, there's very few automotive events that you return to with the same type of vehicles that were there 30 years before and still have the exact amount of fun. I mean, I would say that the majority of the trucks there were D1s, D2s, Classics, and 90s and 110s. I mean, there was very few modern, semi-modern trucks.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely had a few new Defenders. The brand new Range Rover. That was pretty wild.
Yeah, I forgot to talk. He's Gulf Coast Rover. I forgot. He messaged me and we
forgot to hook up. A couple LR3s. I don't remember seeing LR4 or not.
Yeah, I think everyone did the LR3, LR4 thing and then went back to the older stuff.
Trailer
your D1 with your LR3 or 4.
Yeah,
that's what people
are
doing.
They're great for a lot of things, but they definitely feel big and low visibility.
And in the mud and stuff
like
that.
You just kind of miss that analog, you know, exposed feel.
Yeah, they do a lot of cup holders, though. That helps. That's pretty good. But other than that, yeah, you want to be able to see. You want your truck to be light. You want it to be metal.
It's so cliche, but it's kind of hard to, you know, fight the opinion that Camel Trophy era Land Rover was, you know, peak Land Rover.
Yeah. Oh, there was a Camel Trophy Trials truck there. And you know what? Like I said in the video, like you want to be like, it's not, but it's pretty cool, man. You see the cage and all the stuff in there, and it's just like, oh, man. It's a shame you can't beat on it or do anything with it. But the skinny tires, just listen to the rattly 200 TDI. You're like, this is pretty good. You know, so
just buy a D90.
It'd be fun to do that out there.
Cheap, same
you
thing.
Can just import a 2-door or a 4-door.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Or 300 TDI swap your D1.
Or your D1.
Be pretty easy.
All right. Anything else from Mar?
I'm sure we've missed a lot. They added an extra day this time. Sounds like they're going to try to do that going forward.
Yeah. See,
it's actually kind of long.
It is kind of long.
I missed a day and I felt like I got the full experience.
Well, I think what you do next time is bring, you know, have wife and kids come out for a day and let them drive around and you can just kind of chill. I think Cindy came out for a couple hours and regretted not being out to come out more. But, you know, drive a less capable truck with them in it and kind of, you know.
I don't know.
We'll do a,
in
we'll
these
do,
hands,
we'll do a
wives
trail day when all our wives drive our trucks and and see how that works
Dove's
out.
Dove's done that. Almost rolled her.
Yeah.
My wife is a little too full sim on the trails.
Yeah, maybe give her a manual to play
yeah,
with.
Yeah, I need something to slow her down. I'm not letting her out of first gear.
All right, well, I think that's probably it for Mar. I mean, it was a great time. I've gotten. You said you have a note. What's your note?
Oh, yes. They promised us free beer for the happy hour, and it was one small keg full of foam. Do better, Mar.
I missed the memo.
Do better,
Rove. So I'm okay with that. That wasn't actually – that was a secondary sponsor.
Yeah, it was an afterthought, apparently.
It's okay.
So
yeah. We all survived.
I'm sponsoring it next year so we can have real beer.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
That's an action.
I will pay for real beer.
All right, that's going to be it for this one. Thank you for watching, listening. Check out YouTube, Instagram, do all that fun stuff. Email us with any future topics or if you want to be involved in the Rover Roulette debauchery.
Oh, that was a big burp.
And we'll catch you in the next one. So, see ya.
Bye, love you.